Great to be together this morning and beautiful singing, and thanks Matt for those great uplifting words in sharing the Lord's Supper this morning. We're reading in 1 Timothy chapter 3, beginning with verse 8 this morning, where Paul talks here about dynamic deacons in the church and the importance of them. And he says, likewise, deacons must be reverent, not double-tongued, not given to much wine, not greedy for money, holding the mystery of the faith with a pure conscience. But let these also first be tested, then let them serve as deacons, being found blameless. Likewise, their wives must be reverent, not slanderers, temperate, faithful in all things. Let deacons be the husbands of one wife, ruling their children and their own houses well. For those who have served well as deacons obtain for themselves a good standing and great boldness in the faith which is in Christ Jesus. We're living in a time where everything seems to be going to automation. And yet there are some things that just need personal attention and personal touch in order to be done right. Back in December, when we were over in Missoula, we decided to go to Taco Bell one day for lunch. And I was sent in to get the orders. And I found there's nobody waiting on the counter. And there is a big computer screen there. It's a touch screen, and you punch in your orders and then they bring them out to you. Well, I had a list of 8 people to to figure out that technology, and so 45 minutes later we got our order in the car. And Karen says, "What took so long?" Well, we got automation here. And this week at H&R Block, they rolled out, on March the 1st, they rolled out their new long-awaited program. It's the 5G and all online and so forth. Well, we got in and started using the program, and you type in a key, and 5 seconds later, it shows up on your screen. So 3 days later, we went back to the old program. I heard about an airplane flight that took off, you know, and it was up at 35,000 feet, and the message came on, and it says, "Welcome to our first fully automated flight. This morning, your plane took off electronically, and you are now flying at 35,000 feet electronically. And when we reach Los Angeles, we will be landing electronically." This flight has no pilot and no co-pilot. But have no fear. Nothing can go wrong. Go wrong. Go wrong. When we come to the church that God designed, it's not about automation. It's about people. And so when we come to the subject of leaders in the church, we're talking about men who are dynamic, men who are men of action, men who can get things done. And the word dynamic that I am using here to describe deacons is the word that means energy, filled with energy, filled with activity and motion and progress continuously. That is a good way of describing the work that God has assigned for deacons in His Word. The word deacon that is used in the New Testament, it means a servant and a minister. It sometimes is translated minister, sometimes it's translated servant. There are only a few times that it is translated deacon, which is more of a transliteration. It just taking the Greek word diokonos and transferring over it into English, but the meaning is a servant. And yet, the Bible does here indicate that there is a specific office that is intended within the church. In Philippians 1, verse 1, Paul and Timothy, bondservants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are in Philippi with the bishops and deacons. So we know from this that deacons were and are part of the scriptural organization of congregations in the New Testament. To look at the work of deacons, probably in Acts 6, 1 through 4 is one of the best places, even though it doesn't use the word deacon. But it's the account where the 12, there was the complaint that was brought up about the widows, the Grecian widows. They were being neglected in the daily distribution of feeding the needy. And they came to the 12, the apostles, and they said that then the 12 summoned the multitude of the disciples, and they said, "It is not desirable that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Seek out from among you seven men of good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business, but we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word." So they saw the need here for a division of labor and appointing seven men here who were well-qualified men, men of godly character who would be able to set over this work of feeding the widows, making sure no one was being neglected. And this was well received by the entire congregation, and these men were appointed and they began to serve, and that really solved that problem in an effective way. So when we come here to 1 Timothy, we find that Paul here gives Timothy these instructions for choosing deacons to serve in the church. And when we think about the work of being a servant or service, it is, by definition, really in the Bible, it is meant to convey the idea of a lowly task. When we go back to John 13 and think about Jesus, the night that he was to be arrested, and he rose from the table and he took a towel and he began to wash the disciples' feet. He did this on purpose so that he would choose the lowliest task to demonstrate his lesson for them. And after he had washed their feet, he said, "Do you understand what I have just done for you?" And he said, "I want you to do the same." And the point was not washing feet per se, but it was being willing to serve and being willing to be of a humble service, that we are willing to not think this is below my dignity. I don't want to do these things. And yet those are the things that need to be done to demonstrate the love of Christ in our midst. In Mark 9:35, Jesus said that if anyone desires to be first, he shall be last of all and servant of all. So what he is getting at here is to help us to understand that Christ wants us to be willing to do service. And just as he came down from heaven and took a lowly place for our benefit, he wants us to do this to one another. And when it comes to the work of the church, this is absolutely necessary, that we would have men who have this attitude of mind to want to be a servant as Jesus was and as he teaches us. In Mark 10:45, he said, "It shall not be so among you, but whoever desires to become great among you shall be your servant." So Jesus defines greatness as being that of a servant and having the mind of a servant, the heart of a servant. In Acts 10:38, Jesus, it said, God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good. That was a way of explaining Jesus' life here on earth. He went about doing good. He was healing people. He was interacting among the people and getting down on their level and helping them in a practical way. John Maxwell said that if you're not going to do something with your life, it doesn't matter how long it is. So do something with your life. In other words, that's what makes your life significant. That's what makes a difference, is when you are willing to get in and make a difference in people's lives, those around you, and actually help people. So it's time that we as Christians really embrace that and really understand that concept and be willing to get out among people daily and interact with people, people who are hurting, and even to develop a mindset and being aware of those needs and watching and seeing opportunities where we can be helpful in other people's lives, and we can make a difference. As I mentioned last week, in the promises made to Abraham, God said to Abraham, I will bless you, and you shall be a blessing. That is how our lives should be, that we want to be people who are a blessing to others. Wherever we go, we come in contact with people, we become a blessing to them by making their lives better in some way that we're able to do. As we look here at 1 Timothy 3 this morning, verse 8 through 13, we see that there are three thoughts here. First of all, he speaks about a deacon's character, his character, his moral character, his spiritual character. Then he talks, secondly, about a deacon's family, his wife, his children, his marriage, and the character that he and his wife have. And then he talks about a deacon's reward, that there are some great inner rewards that comes to being a deacon, that between you and your relationship with God, it is certainly a great rewarding thing for a man to pursue. So let's begin by looking at the deacon's character here for a moment in verses 8 through 10. He says, likewise, deacons must be reverent. And so the first quality that he brings out is that deacons are to be reverent. And this means that they are to be dignified and worthy of respect. Now, it can carry the idea of a grave or a serious approach to life, but it's always with a respectful attitude. And there's a humility about that, with being a person who is reverent. As a deacon respects many different things. He respects God's word. He respects God as being the sovereign creator of our lives. He respects the work that he has given and takes it seriously to heart, of what he wants to accomplish and being carrying out the work of the Lord here within the local congregation. Now then, he addresses three negatives, and this really becomes sort of the heart of the qualifications of being a deacon, because he said he is not double-tongued, not given to much wine, not greedy for money. As we think about being double-tongued, the Bible speaks so much about the importance of the use of the tongue. And of course, in James chapter 3 is a wonderful passage about this, that our words can be like set on fire of hell. We need to be in control of our tongue. Jesus said that by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. For out of the heart the tongue speaks, and those things are crucial, and those things are... Ephesians 4:31, he says, let your words be with grace, be with kindness, not words that are have anger and outburst, but with kindness in your voice as you speak to others. And in Colossians 4, he says that it should be seasoned with salt. So being a double-tongued person is a very dangerous thing. Even the American Indians, you know, as portrayed in the movies, oftentimes they would hear them say things like, "Oh, white man, he speak with forked tongue." That he's not willing to be trusted. He says one thing, but he means another thing. And for us as Christians, when we speak, we need to be sincere. And not to say one thing behind a person's back and then go and say something different. Or say, "Oh yes, I want to do this job, I'm willing to do it." But then go away and forget about it and not take it seriously to heart. So a deacon must be a man of good use of his language, of his words, and not given to much wine. Now, there's a lot of been said about this qualification, that deacons are told to not be given to much wine. Elders are said not given to wine. So some have interpreted that to mean, well, if you're a deacon, you get to have a little wine at least, and if you're an elder, you can't have any at all. But that is not the point that Paul is saying here. He's talking about men who have control in this very dangerous area of the use of alcohol. There's two things we know from the Bible about alcohol. Number one is drunkenness is a sin. And second, alcohol is dangerous. The Bible tells us in the book of Proverbs in chapter 20 and verse 1, it tells us there that we should not even look at the wine when it moves in the cup. That there is a danger to this of a chemical addiction that a person can easily be influenced by the use of wine. And he can begin to lose the judgment. It said, "Wine is a mocker. Strong drink is a brawler. And whoever is led astray by it is not wise." So in order to be a deacon, the Bible says that a person must have that kind of self-control in their life, that not to be brought under the influence of alcohol. We are told in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 18, the Apostle Paul there writing, he said, "And do not be drunk with wine, in which is excess, but be filled with the Spirit." So a deacon is a man who is filled with the Spirit, not with wine, and he has full control. Then greedy for money. So these are three critical areas that deacons, the ability to not be greedy for money, that again is an area that it is easy for men to get caught up. And when Paul is writing to the Corinthians, he talks about their past life. He said, "Do not be deceived, neither fornicators or idolaters or homosexuals or sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous." And so he brings that in, that this is one of those areas of life that is part of our past life, but we were converted, we became sanctified, we're justified in Christ Jesus. Those should not be a part of our lives today. But holding the mystery of the faith with a pure conscience. So here we see that deacons are men who are able to do physical tasks, but they are also men who are also very much part of God's Word in their life. That the mystery of the faith, that is the revealed word of Christ and how it is unveiled and revealed to us in the New Testament. And it is something that we are to protect and uphold. It is the path of our salvation with God. Jude said in Jude verse 3, said, "Behold, I found it necessary to write to you to contend earnestly for the faith, which was once for all delivered to the saints." That is one of the things that deacons respect and have honor and dignified in their ability to know. They're men who have a knowledge of God's Word. And yet they're ready to serve. They're ready to do the work that needs to be done. They're men who are able to get things done. They have energy. They are they are willing to serve in the Lord's church today. So those are some of the qualities of character. He says, let them first be tested or examined, and then let them serve, being found blameless. Now, he then begins to talk about a deacon's family. And a deacon's family, in verses 11 and 12, likewise, he said their wives must be reverent, not slanderers, temperate, faithful in all things. So he begins here by talking about the importance of a deacon's wife and her godly character. There are four qualities. We could almost say that this is a short list of women's godly character. And it should be pointed out that these qualities of both men and women that are discussed here by Paul are qualities that every Christian should aspire in our lives to possess these qualities. So he says their wives must be reverent, not slanderers, temperate, faithful in all things. You can line that up pretty well with the godly woman of Proverbs 31 and see that when Solomon talked about the godly woman, the virtuous woman in Proverbs 31, that those can be really summarized to say what he says here about the qualities of a wife. Well, we all know this, that behind every good man, there is a good woman, usually standing right beside him. And if it weren't for our wives, where would we be, men here today of the church in Burien? We're so blessed with our godly wives that stand beside us and support us and encourage us in living the Christian life and in being able to serve the Lord. So it's important that godly wives, the importance of a deacon having a wife who is a woman of character, a godly woman who will stand beside him, and she, like her husband, will not be double-tongued. She will not be slandering and saying things that would be hurtful to others. She is reverent, she is respectful, she is self-controlled, and she herself is faithful in all things. But he said he's to be the husband of one wife. One wife. And this is a word that can have the significance of he has not been divorced, but it is literally a one-woman man. A one-woman man. And the idea really is to be a loving, dedicated husband, is what is involved in that. A husband of one wife is saying he has a good marriage. He is a man that doesn't just boss his wife around all the time and speak down to her. He is a man who lovingly builds and adores his wife and treats her in the loving way that Jesus would have all men to treat our wives. Therefore, he does have a good marriage. He has a marriage that speaks well of his godly character and that he is devoted to his wife. And that above everything else that goes on within the church, his wife is always in the first place in his heart. And he will not be neglecting her as he goes about serving others. He also says here, let the husbands be the husbands of one wife, ruling their children and their own houses well. So he's a family man, a godly man that has shown a proven record that he has his house managed well. He raised his children and they were conducting themselves in a Christ-like way at the time they were within his home, and he demonstrated that quality to be a father, to be a loving father of loving his wife, loving his children, managing the affairs within his own house before he goes out and is able to help others. He has to have his own life in well control so that he can then have the ability to be helpful in the lives of other people. Paul also shows here that deacons, there's a great reward in store for them. Let them first be tested, he said, back up there in verse 10. And then let them serve as deacons, being found blameless. Now, blameless does not mean sinless, but it means that in looking at their character, they have a character that people do not look at them and say, that person is not really living a godly life. They have a glaring fault in their lives that they're blameless. They have purity in their life. They have godly, high standard of godly, Christ-like character that everyone can know and see and respect. It's good for deacons, I believe, as they consider these qualifications, to do a self-examination. There is a preparation involved to becoming a deacon. And a person who wants to be this in his life should be preparing himself. And we're thankful that right now we have Matt and Bill, who both have expressed interest in becoming deacons here. And we intend to help and assist them in that in the near future. We're going to be hopefully appointing new deacons here in our congregation. And that doesn't mean that anyone else is excluded from that, but they have expressed that interest to us as the elders, and we want you to be aware of that. So we're very thankful for men who have that mind and desire and willingness to want to serve, knowing that this is a great responsibility, and there is a commitment, and there is time, and there is work that needs to be done. But they are men who have served well. And those who have served well, he said, obtain these two things: a good standing. And that really means that they become even a better respect as they serve, that the respect that people has for them just continues to grow. And people see the good qualities coming out of their life, and they have such great respect for these men within the congregation. It was like Timothy, that it was said of Timothy as a young man when Paul was coming through, that the people all spoke so highly of Timothy, of this young man, and how dedicated he was and what a good example he was in his life. But they also, Paul says, they gained great boldness in the faith as a result of the serving that they have done. As deacons, they obtain for themselves a good standing and great boldness, that is assurance, confidence of their relationship with God, knowing that they are faithful and they are serving as the best of their ability in the congregation with a great, wonderful attitude. This gives them great assurance in their heart of their relationship with God. So those are not monetary rewards that he is saying, but they're rewards that is very fulfilling and greatly needed in each of our lives. By being a deacon, this is one of the ways that these can come about. We might ask the question, why did God want deacons in the church? And I think that is a good question. And one of the first things that we see is that it was to fulfill a responsibility. Because for any church to function, countless things must get done. And teamwork is a key to being able to have dependable results within a congregation. Teamwork. I mentioned last week that God's plan of leadership in the church calls for teamwork. It doesn't elevate one man as the central centerpiece of the church, as is seen in so many of the mega churches out in the world today. God calls for a team of humble servants working together. And that is how things get accomplished that are pleasing to God. So deacons support each other in doing the Lord's work. They are men that are able to work together well with each other. They are reliable because of their maturity, and they are willing to accept a serious commitment that they, in other words, are volunteering a third tier. When you become a Christian, you volunteer in the Lord's kingdom, in the Lord's service. I want to follow Jesus Christ. Many men, as they become a Christian, they begin to serve in the congregation. They're willing to volunteer to teach a Bible class or to wait on the table or to lead prayer. And so they volunteer a second tier. But whenever a man becomes a deacon, he is volunteering the third level of his commitment to Christ, and is a serious, mature commitment that he is making. That is one of the reasons God wants us to have deacons in the church. Second is to increase their visibility. So they are able, by their example in their life, to help other people in the congregation grow and see the growth in the congregation and want to be a part of it. Because even though the work of deacons sometimes can involve menial tasks of work needs to be done on the building or the landscape or visitation or welcoming people, just tasks that need to be done, but the church is in the business of building up people in their lives. And the work of deacons is there to further that help of everyone, encouragement of growing in the Lord, helping us all grow. And we grow by beginning to grow from within. And then we begin to grow from without as the Lord blesses the growth that is happening within our lives. So deacons play a major part in that process that goes beyond just the day-to-day operational matters of the congregation. It's because their life, their character shines out and stands out, and they are appointed to this office, and therefore they gain some recognition. And there's a visibility there that people say, well, we have these men, this man, he is one of our deacons. And they can say that with honor and dignity that here we are a congregation that has an organization to it, and we are functioning and we are moving forward because we're following the organization plan that God has revealed to us in the Word of God. So deacons are men that demonstrate spiritual maturity and responsible membership. And through their lives, they are able to show their love and support for the elders and their commitment to God and wanting to be men of action and help make the church stronger. A deacon is a selfless, steady, spiritual leader who is an inspiration for others. And his life is an inspiration, not an excuse for someone to look and say, well, if they're deacons, if they aren't doing any more than that, then why should I be doing any more than I am doing? So it can become either an example or an excuse for others to justify their absence. If elders and deacons are not fully committed to attending the services and getting involved and being active and helping to build up the overall work of the church, then that lack of commitment on the part of the leaders is going to lead to others to excuse and justify their absence as well. But a man who sets a good pattern and is a great example is going to bring others to help them aspire to more dedication. The third reason is to assist the elders, and these are complementary roles of elders and deacons. None of them is a place where we get to be the boss and tell others what to do. Being an elder is to be an example, to be not of compulsion, but an example to the flock and a shepherd of the flock, of caring for the people and helping each person to grow and develop. And working with deacons is a way of working together in a harmony and respect for one another. You have the elders who are the overseers of the flock. You have the deacons who are there to support and assist in accomplishing those responsibilities and instructions that are needed to be carried out. And fourthly, God wanted deacons because it is a way to develop younger leaders within the church. Many times deacons are younger, not always, but some are able to mentor younger men also as they are growing in the faith. They can be there to help in the work that the elders are doing. Two of the men that were chosen in the seven of Jerusalem were preachers who went out and preached the word, Stephen and Philip. So being a deacon does not rule out any of that. It is simply a way of working together and accomplishing the tasks that need to be accomplished. But in Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 29, I think this is a verse that also should be easy to understand for us as we think about deacons being younger men many times. But he said, "The glory of young men is their strength, and the splendor of old men is their gray head." So we have men who, they have one glory, but the young men have the strength. They can get in. It's just recognizing the aging process, the natural process. It doesn't mean that older men get to be lazy, but it means here that younger men have a lot more energy as a general rule, that they can get in and get things done. And that is really what is needed in the church. So God gave us a beautiful plan here for his church. Here's a statement that I want to close on this morning. And it said, "God grant me the serenity to accept the people I cannot change, the courage to change the one I can, and the wisdom to know it's me." And that was by Jackie Helm in her blog, Appreciative Living. I think that was good. We're going to stand and sing the invitation song this morning. If you're subject this morning to Jesus, who's inviting us to come to him, and as we saw this morning so beautifully in the Bible class, that Jesus invites us into a new relationship with him. And we are united with him in baptism. And as he died and he rose from the dead victorious, we are with him on that journey and on that path. And that's how we need to see ourselves and consider ourselves dead to sin and alive to God through Jesus Christ. Let's stand together and sing the invitation song this morning.
Fearless soul, why will you linger, wandering from the